All right, welcome to the Free Stretch. Mid-May edition here on the show. Bobby Fenton with you, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. Like always, as we now have a schedule, we now have a roster of 89, although it should be 90 officially once Antonio Brown becomes official, and we'll talk about that on the show today. We've now gotten some mini camps going. There have been players on the field. We're in off-season mode now, guys. Like, we had 2 months till training camp, and from here on in, like, there's nothing, you know, the league calendar, the way they do it, they've always got something coming up, but there ain't nothing coming up now until training camp, unless, you know, the assortment of OTAs and stuff like that. But we're going to catch up this week, okay, on everything that's gone on, everything, where we're at as a franchise, all those things. There was a rookie minicamp last week. There's some other news as well around the league. So we'll get to all those things today. But thank you for joining us here on the Free Stretch. And like always, thanks to the Joes for having me and being able to be here on the single best place for Bucks coverage any of the internet, anywhere on the internet, I should say. The Free Stretch is brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. So if you're looking for a car, and there are a lot of you, judging by the way things are going with used cars right now, both buying and selling, all right, you can go to Bill Curry Ford in person. They're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the right side if you're going north, the east side, just north of Hillsboro, and on the left side if you're coming from the north. Now, if you don't want to go there, or if you want to check things out on the website first, it's fine, BillCurryFord.com. It's spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. Either way, tons of inventory, whether it's brand new, whether it's pre-owned, used, whatever you want to call it, it's all there, mostly Fords, but not all Fords, because people trade them in, so they got lots of the other types too, cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, you name it, and all of them, okay, get you the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty, which means you always recover it if you have engine trouble, and it's years from now, but you bought that car from Bill Curry Ford, you can bring it back into the service center, and they will take care of you, which is unbelievable. You don't get that just having a car from other places. So there's that. There's 10 years roadside assistance. First year oil changes are free. It's all taken care of. If you want to stay home, like I said, go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. They will bring the car to you, even just a test drive, not even the one you buy, although they'll bring that to you as well. So every angle is covered. It's all taken care of. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry, or go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. Thanks to them, as always. So here we are this week, and the biggest news, I suppose, was the mini camp that the team had for rookies and some other, you know, some unsigned guys and some other guys who qualify as rookies. So, you know, there were some people, if you look at all the people that follow the Bucks, whether it's Joe on Twitter, at Joe Bucks fan, Greg Allman, who I cite often on this show, who's the Athletic beat writer for the Bucks, same thing with Rick Stroud from the Tampa Bay Times, and many, many others. You know, you might have seen clips and things like that. And it just looked good to see guys out on the football field, not in full uniform, but in helmets and in jerseys. And that was nice. That was the first time we've seen anything like that since the Super Bowl. Kyle Trask out there, he looked, I mean, just looking at him, you know, he looked like a Bucs quarterback. And some guys made some plays. Now, Joe Tryon, the first-round pick, the 32nd overall pick, he had a little knee tweakage, and the Bucks knew about it and everything, even in the draft. So he had a little procedure done there. No big deal, according to what everybody's saying. So I'll take their word for it. And he's not the only one. Antonio Brown, and you may not have noticed, or you may have noticed, he hasn't actually signed with the Bucks yet. The deal was announced, and it was like, oh, cool, all right, we got Antonio Brown back. He's not actually back yet. He also has had a knee procedure. It's being referred to as more of a clean-out. And that surgery was done, actually, I'm doing this on Thursday. That surgery was done yesterday. So on Wednesday, it's supposedly a 3 to 4 week recovery. Training camp is 2 months away, so no problem there. And they expect him to sign the deal when and if, and I'm adding the if, they say he'll sign the deal when he passes a physical, which, yes, they don't anticipate any problems there. And so if he does, he'll become the 90th person on the roster. Bruce Arians talked to the media a little bit, and he was his usual self. Some news that's happening around the league and the same at One Buck Place. First of all, they can get back to close to normal if they're vaccinated, and so they don't have to wear masks around the facility and all that stuff. And he said that was a big boost psychologically for a lot of people because it feels more normal than ever. There are probably a few that still need to wear masks. Bruce Arians, these are his words, said, it's kind of a scarlet letter now if you're walking around with a mask on meaning you haven't gotten vaccinated and you're still, in that other category. That's what he said, and that's where the Bucks are for the most part, with maybe a handful of people, I think. And otherwise, there's that. And speaking of getting back to normal, and the Bucks themselves haven't officially said anything, but USF is saying it. USF, starting with their home opener, which is on September 11th against Florida, against the Gators, is going to go full capacity. So, and that's not, you might be thinking, oh, USF, so what? They socially distance anyway for their games. All their routine jokes we've heard 100,000 times. But again, their home opener is Florida on September 11th. So if that's not going to be a full stadium, it's going to be close. I'm planning on trying to go, among others. It'll be the first time they've ever played the Gators at home. They did make a visit to the Swamp back in 2010. They played FSU in Miami at home, but never Florida. So if they do that on September 11th with a full crowd, that bodes well for the Buck games too, I would imagine. And, they've got season tickets on sale and things like that. I'm not sure if they're selling all the seats yet or not. I'll check on that, and we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. But things are starting to go that direction, in other words. And I know the Rays have also increased their numbers. The Lightning have a playoff game both tonight, here Thursday night, and on Saturday, which they've increased from prior home games in the regular season. So things are moving in a good direction in that way. And Bruce Arians talked about that. He was asked about the schedule. He mentioned the five primetime games, and he said that the team needs to embrace the five primetime games and trust that they got rid of last year's problem of, quote, and these are his words, not mine, quote, being shitty at night, end quote. Although they did fine in the playoffs in primetime. Well, it wasn't really primetime in the playoffs, but national TV. But yeah, they didn't really play a game after 6 p.m. in the playoffs, if I remember correctly. I think the Redskins game was, actually. So, we'll see how all that goes. But other than that, no major news around the team right now. And, that's kind of the way you want it this time of year, because at this point, when Antonio Brown would go ahead and get cleared, sign his deal, have 90 guys show up to camp, and then all is well. And, those 2 months, it's a little slow if you're a football fan and you're not really as into anything else besides football, but there's plenty going on, and it's the summertime, and it's going to be a fun summer, I think. It's going to be kind of like a reawakening summer where the nation, this is just me saying this, this is my theory. I've always been looking at, because I look at everything in terms of the sports calendar. That's how my mind works, and I know a lot of you probably might be the same way. And so I've always been looking at, like, the fall of 2021, like when football season starts, that's kind of like the unofficial we're back type thing. Like every other season of sports up until then is slightly affected, like they're finishing the hockey season now. Although some of these playoff games have had some pretty big crowds, it's not quite all filled up. Baseball still getting there. The previous football season was affected, same NBA. But when we get back through the summer and there'll be baseball and all that, then we start football season, Labor Day weekend. I'm expecting by that point all the sports going forward to be pretty normal from there on in. At least I hope so. And so we've got the summer to kind of shake off the cobwebs, and a lot of people are going to travel maybe more. That's when people do normally travel. Of course, last summer was different. But I think this is a chance. Kids are out of school. We come back. Same thing with school. I think of things in terms of the school calendar and the sports calendar. And when you're a kid, the school calendar dictates everything. And then I got into my 20s with no kids, and I kind of stopped thinking that way. You think, okay, fall, fall semester, Christmas break, spring all the way through May, school's out. And then I stopped, everything just kind of blended together. Then I had my own kids, and they became school age, and now I'm back to thinking that way. But that's one of the things I liked about football, is it always, you start football, it coincides with starting school. It's kind of an unofficial new year, like Labor Day weekend. So I think school will be pretty close to normal by then. We'll see. I know there's lots of people that have different opinions. I'm not trying to make anything political. I just mean, I feel like here we go. Like, we're going to get through this summer, start shaking the rust off, and by the time football season comes back, boom, we're flying. It's going to be a fun summer and a really fun football season. So we got a couple months for all that, and once training camp gets going in late July, I mean, we're going to be all over it on Joe Bucks Fan. Everybody's going to be all over it, obviously. So that's going to be a lot of fun once everything gets back going. In the meantime, one thing I forgot to mention about the schedule. There was an interesting, I don't want to say tidbit, but a little note about how things came to be. Peter King, in his weekly Monday column, you know, he was talking about that Bucks-Patriots game, which continues to be the game that everybody's talking about already. And we had all thought maybe it was going to be on Thanksgiving night originally when there were some reports on Twitter about that, and then it turned out it wasn't. You know, he said one of the big reasons it ended up being in week four, and first of all, NBC won that game. Every single one of the network partners won. They wanted it for Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, Fox Afternoon Window, CBS Afternoon Window. Everybody wanted it. At the end of the day, they decided they wanted it both in its own national TV window where there's no other games going on, which meant either Thursday night, Monday night, or Sunday night. And then of those three, yeah, it was going to be Sunday night. So anyway, they put it early in the year. The biggest reason was because, one, the game is about Brady versus the Patriots and Brady and Belichick, not the Bucks, which we already knew. And so, you know, Brady, and we hope this doesn't come to pass, but even if something did happen, the earlier in the season you have it, the less likely you have that something happens to Brady. He's not even playing in the game. I mean, you have this whole big hype around the game. If it's in week 13 or something like that, and, you know, what if Brady gets hurt or something and he's out for the year in week six, you know? So you want to have it where you have a pretty good idea that it will be what you're expecting it to be, which is Brady versus Belichick. And then on top of that, you want the game to be a big game football-wise, like in the standings. And so in week four, you know, you assume at least a win or two for both teams. The game matters to both teams. You don't want to have it where he returns to Foxborough, but the Bucks are maybe a big disappointment this year, or the Patriots or somebody are like 5-9 by the time they play the game. So that was the biggest reason why they wanted to make sure it was early in the season. And it was just, it was a cool, if you have a chance to go, like, because he did a whole piece on how the schedule's made, what the NFL considers, what the TV people consider, and you see how much more goes into it than just kind of putting games in slots. So it was a good read. I enjoyed that. But that's one of the things we'll have to be looking forward to once everything gets started. Another thing that's going to be, and this might annoy some people, it's a big story today already. Everybody's talking about it. Tim Tebow officially signed with the Jags. And, like, he's out there with the Jags. Like, I think they're practicing today. So it's Tebow's first practice since, I guess, the Eagles in 2015. Yeah, that's when he didn't play for them in the regular season, but that's the last time he was actively practicing with an NFL team. His last game appearance was actually in 2012 with the Jets. So Tebow's out there today. It's a whole big to-do. And I wanted to bring it up on the show just because it seems like a really polarizing thing. There's, like, sometimes there's these issues where camps form. And with Tebow, there's camps. Like, you're either in the, hey, this is cool, why wouldn't Urban Meyer try this? I wonder how it's going to go, blah, blah, blah camp. I don't see the problem. Or the other camp is, hey, he's taking away a spot. What a publicity stunt. This is ridiculous. I can't believe they're going to let him have a roster spot when so many other people are more deserving. And what are they thinking? It's going to be a circus. This is detrimental to the team. Urban Meyer is committing coaching malpractice, and on and on and on. So that seems like those are pretty, you know, well entrenched. There aren't many people who kind of fall in the middle, although I would consider myself one of those. And so, you know, with me, here's my thing. I'm a Gator, so, like, I can't separate from this and try to see it from the standpoint of someone who didn't have skin in the game all those years ago, because, you know, I was there. I was there at the spring game. I guess it would have been what? It would have been spring 2006. Almost exactly 15 years ago from right now. I remember sitting there with my then girlfriend, who I'd been dating for only a few months at the time, but she was in school at UF, and I'd go up there on the weekends. She was in dental school, not undergrad. I wasn't robbing the cradle or anything. But I remember sitting in the stands when Tebow trotted on the field at the Swamp for the first time, like in an actual game situation, and going, hey, and this is, you know, back then, not everybody knew who he was. It was a big deal, but, like, it wasn't like now where, like, there's 8 million recruiting websites and everybody knows every kid's name by the time he's a junior in high school. So I remember telling, like, my girlfriend, now wife, and people sitting around us, hey, this guy Tebow, you're going to remember this. This is the first time he's ever taken a snap for the Gators. Watch it. And they were all, like, looking at me like I was some crazy nut job. And he played in the spring game. Then, of course, freshman year 2006, he, along with Chris Leak at quarterback, they combine at quarterback to help the Gators win a national championship. And then another one 2 years later, a Heisman Trophy. You know all the stuff. So I was there for all that. So, I mean, I'm not just a neutral observer. Tim Tebow's not a guy who's getting all this attention, only he played at like Nebraska or something, or played at Clemson, or name wherever college. I might feel a lot differently if I was. But I like Tim Tebow. I like him for what he did on the football field for the Gators, and he seems like a good guy. And so it doesn't bother me. I'm like, hey, cool, Tebow's back. But I understand, I do get both sides of it. What I don't get is, even if you're right, even if it's kind of a dumb thing, it's like, okay, you know, he's coming in, whatever, 90th roster spot, we're going to blow it on this guy just to see what happens, and it's going to be entertaining. You know, it ultimately is pretty harmless. I mean, you know, if you look at the way training camps go, and if you brought in any other tight end who was a no-name, not that he is I guess that's the other thing, he's not actually a tight end, they're just like, oh yeah, we'll put him at tight end. I mean, he could have been maybe been doing this that whole time, it'd be different. But it's a guy who probably doesn't make the team, and nobody thinks about it one way or the other. And, you know, even before camp starts, you can map out, other than a few spots, who's probably getting cut and who's probably making the team. So I don't see anything wrong with that part of it. Now, obviously, then things get to a realm where people start making compare, and there's, you know, people say, oh, well, Colin Kaepernick can't get a gig and Tim Tebow can. And that's not even, that's a perfectly valid opinion, in fact. It just, I don't think one has anything to do with the other. And I think Tim Tebow's a special case because this is his own college coach in particular. If some random NFL team, oh, plus he's not being signed as a quarterback, he's being signed as a tight end. If some random NFL team signed Tim Tebow, had nothing to do with Urban Meyer, nobody who had previously coached him, and they were bringing him in as a quarterback now after having missed football for 6 years and not playing in the league in nine, then yes, that would be a perfect example of Colin Kaepernick or Colin Kaepernick getting railroaded. But this isn't that. So, I mean, I don't see a comparison between two things, even though there are legitimate claims about Cap. This isn't one of them. As far as looking at, you know, Urban Meyer, he's already, what, he hired that strength coach. That guy only lasted like a week and a half, and he had some prior history that was bad, and it was a big controversy. He had to fire him all within, hired and fired within the span of a week and a half after media and basically societal blowback. Then he drafts a running back in the first round. That was a big to-do. You know, I ripped him for that too, but that I didn't rip him any differently than any other head coach, and Mike Tomlin did the same thing. And now he's got him playing right. This guy playing wide receiver, Travis Etienne. You know, all these things around Urban Meyer. Basically, never a dull moment with Urban Meyer. But at the end of the day, what's going to be the thing you remember about Urban Meyer's coaching tenure? Whether it lasts a year or two and he flames out, or whether he goes on to be successful as an NFL head coach. And Dan Wetzel of Yahoo wrote a column about this that I thought was pretty good. Trevor Lawrence. Like, Tebow's got has nothing to do with Urban Meyer, like what you'll remember about him. Neither does Travis Etienne, neither does the bad strength coach, or any of the other 4 million things you could say come as baggage with Urban Meyer. The one thing that's going to matter the most on how we all judge and remember and view Urban Meyer is the one thing that none of us really disagreed on to begin with, and that was taking Trevor Lawrence with the first pick. Because if Trevor Lawrence is as good as he's supposed to be, and the Jags will end up being very good too, then Urban Meyer's a stud, he's a genius, he could do it at the college level, and now he's doing it at the pro level, blah, blah, blah. And if Trevor Lawrence isn't that good, or he ends up being a disappointment, and the Jags just kind of tread water for a couple of years and move on and have to do something else, kind of like what happened with Jameis Winston with the Bucks, then that's what you'll remember Urban Meyer for. So, I mean, keep our eye on the ball. The Tim Tebow story, I really can't figure out why it's such a big story, but I guess I'm talking about it. But, like, you know, what is it about him? Because, again, as a Gator fan, I look at him, and I think of it strictly from all the memories of that. But, I mean, he's much more than that to a lot of people, especially those who aren't Gator fans. I mean, he's a personality. He's got the whole religious thing, and to me, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with being religious, but for me, like when you say someone is a very devout Christian or they're a strong Christian person, that's like telling me they like their steak medium. That's just a thing about it. It doesn't mean they're good or bad or anything. It just, you know, like there's no virtue in being religious. I know a lot of people think there is. And so if someone, and Tim Tebow, there is virtue in him because of the good things he does, which you can do those things whether you're religious or not. I know a lot of it is faith-based with him, and that's, again, that's totally fine. I'm not against it either. But, with, you know, I know he's done a lot of work, you know, going to prisons and going to other things and a lot of, you know, charitable stuff. And so, you know, by all accounts, this is a guy who doesn't seem to have skeletons in a closet like so many people have, whether you knew it immediately or whether it came out later. So genuinely good guy. He's got the All-American, you know, good looks and all that stuff. Hey, great. I mean, that's fine. I, you know, if he didn't go to Florida, I probably wouldn't think much about it either way. I like him because I remember him from the Gators. And I know some people made the joke that he must know a lot about what happened with Aaron Hernandez and the Pouncies and all the stuff that went on at UF in the mid to late 2000s. And then maybe they'd get a blackmail thing going with Urban Meyer. You know, ha, 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 fine. Fair enough. I can't argue with the jokes. Two national championships, though. But, you know, I mean, to me, it's like, hey, cool. It's like having something else to pay attention to in training camp. And if the Jags want to get involved in all that, that's fine. It is interesting if you want to look at the press release that the Jags left when they signed him the other day, or he became official today, but Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, noted this. He said, if there was any doubt that the signing of tight end Tim Tebow is more about business than football, consider a pair of recent press releases issued by the Jaguars. On May 1st, so that was almost 3 weeks ago, they announced they had agreed to terms with six undrafted free agents. And the release there included only the names, positions, heights, weights, and colleges of each player and nothing else. With Tebow, and this one was released this morning at 8:20 a.m. I'm doing this show on Thursday. Here's the press release. The Jacksonville Jaguars have signed tight end Tim Tebow, the team announced today. I want to thank the Jags for the opportunity to compete and earn the chance, blah, blah, blah. Long quote from Tebow. I know it'll be a challenge, but it's a challenge I embrace. Then they go on with this very long, detailed biographical. You know, Tebow's NFL career spans three seasons, gave all his numbers. And then it goes on, in addition to his football career, Tebow is engaged in multiple philanthropic initiatives, including his own Tim Tebow Foundation, several years competing in minor league baseball. It just goes, it's basically like if you read a media guide in a college football, you know, program's media guide, it's got lots, very lots of words, very many words, words, this, that, and the other, and just lots of detail. So Florio goes on to say, that's hardly the kind of press release devoted to a Rudy-style camp fodder player who will inevitably be cut. He says it's the kind of press release that is issued for a player for whom the team has plans. Those plans surely include using Tebow to move tickets, to sell jerseys, to generate excitement, and those plans, to have any relevance beyond August, will include giving him a 53-man roster spot or, at a minimum, a place on the practice squad with the chance of being called up every week as one of the two players who can move back and forth. So Florio thinks he's not just here for camp fodder, he's making the team. And that is a compelling point when you look at the press release they threw out there. Now, I don't think that necessarily tells you everything. He could still end up being ultimately cut. And it's very possible that Urban Meyer's just like, hey, I just want to see. I want to make sure I give every opportunity for him to make the team. Yes, because I know him. I know what he can do. But if he ends up, we get out there on the practice field and I'm like, yeah, this isn't working, okay, it doesn't work. I mean, you know, there doesn't have to be all these well thought out, well planned motives where they already know exactly how they're going to use him and they've already made plans for him to make the team. That doesn't have to be true. If he does end up making the team, like an actual roster spot, not just some camp roster spot, then okay, then there's going to be more debating going on and that's fine. But, you know, It does kind of seem, somebody tweeted out, I can't credit them because I can't remember, a few weeks ago when this was originally announced, that Tebow's whole athletic career has been like one big Make-A-Wish Foundation thing. Like, hey, quarterback in the NFL, cool. Hey, you want to play right or left field for the Mets? Grab a bat, let's go. Oh, you want to come back and play tight end? Hey, let's go learn the route tree. Let's get you out there, man. Like, it does feel like that. But again, so far, nothing has been hurt, in my opinion. I know you could say, well, the roster spot of the guy in single A or double A for the Mets is the only thing that's been actually hurt by anything anybody's tried to do with Tim Tebow so far. We'll see what happens with Jacksonville. But it's yet another story. It's yet another thing to look forward to when camp's starting. Or maybe you're sick of hearing about it already, in which case, well, you'll have to just keep your eyes off the Jags. But the Jags are going to be compelling because of Trevor Lawrence. Like, that's what I'm – if he's good, they're good. Urban Meyer's good. If he's not good, they're not good. Urban Meyer's not good. It's got not going to have anything to do with Tebow. Not going to have anything to do with anything like that. As for the Bucs, I will take our spot as the defending Super Bowl champion with zero roster controversy, with zero questions about our quarterback, with zero questions really about anybody's spot on the roster. It's a nice spot to be in. So now that we've got a schedule, now that we've got our 90, assuming Antonio Brown signs and gets the whole physical thing cleared up with the knee, now we've got 2 months of offseason. We're going to have a lot of fun on the free stretch during the offseason. Don't worry. There's always plenty to talk about. And we like to – I call it the free stretch for a reason, because we go out into many other places besides just the Bucs, and we'll continue to do that while also being on top of every single thing going on with the team. And, of course, all you need to do is keep it tuned in. And I always encourage everybody to follow all kinds of Bucs information, not just one spot. But if you're looking for the one spot where you know you're not going to miss anything, like I always tell you, it's JoeBucsFan.com. And it will continue to be. It's all there. So thanks to them for giving me this platform, for getting me in front of all of you, and giving me the chance to do this show. Thanks to all of you, of course, as well. I know the school calendar for most people, there's maybe one more week of school after this week. Final in-school weekend. Lightning playoffs going on. We got a major championship in golf, the PGA. We got some other things, baseball, the Rays. You know, a lot of fun with sports, so have fun with it all. The weather's still nice. And wherever you are... Oh, by the way, I forgot to say this. I'm going to be live on Saturday. I'm actually doing the play-by-play call of the Semi-Pro Football Championship for the Federation Football Alliance, the FFA. Look it up on Facebook if you want to see me do play-by-play. It's at 6 p.m. I'll be doing the call of the live feed. You can see it all on their Facebook page. The Football Federation Alliance, FFA 2.0. Check it out. In the meantime, thanks to you for listening, I should say. Have fun, and I'll talk to you next week, wherever you are. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.